This is Imperfectly Honest. I'm Elizabeth, and after about four decades, I'm shifting from the person I always thought I should be to the person I really want to be, in part because I've learned to be honest, both with myself and just about everybody I encounter. It's not always perfect. Sometimes it's a rocky road, but I'm learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might learn something too. Hey, y'all. I am not actually going to host our podcast today. Our host is going to be a woman named Kayla Gorski. Kayla has been helping me with some PR and some work behind the scenes, and she suggested our guest today. And I was all set to interview this guest, and something came up. And as luck would have it, Kayla was willing to jump in and be our host. I actually think she did a better job than I would have. So sometimes setting boundaries and being open to different possibilities opens up things for us. And that is exactly what our episode is about today, boundaries. I want to share with imperfect honesty that I have some reservations about some of the content in this podcast. They are going to talk about some things like sacred geometry and flower remedies. And when I first heard the recording of this podcast, I thought, that is a little bit more woo-woo than I'm used to. And I'm not sure I would have chosen to have had that content on my podcast. But as I listened to the entire recording, I found that there was a lot of wisdom that resonated with me. And that I thought it might resonate with you, especially as I've learned over the past year, sometimes when you embrace things that you're resistant to or that you have judgments about, it opens up a lot of opportunities. And so without further ado, here is our podcast. I hope you'll listen with an open mind. And if you have any thoughts to share, I hope that you'll share those with imperfect honesty as always. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and I am the host for today's episode. And it's really great to be joined by Dr. Andrea Wick. She is a chiropractor, applied kinesiologist, energy worker to the stars. Me, that's me. She does all of these things to me and a lot of other people who are lucky enough to work with her. And Elizabeth and I thought that she'd be a wonderful person to join us for a conversation about boundaries. Boundaries, I think, are something that are really coming up for a lot of people right now with holidays on the horizon. They get challenged whether you're traveling, just spending time with friends and family, and just different dynamics that might be a little challenging. So with that, Dr. Wick, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this conversation.
I know.
We're going to touch on some hot topics here.
That's right. That's right. So I guess just digging right on into it, why do you think so many people struggle with setting or maintaining boundaries?
Oh boy, that is a loaded question. The biggest thing that comes to me with that is childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And doing a lot of inner child work can help with setting boundaries. It's really difficult if you grew up people pleasing, or if you were taught that it is better to give than to receive. And I think it's a tricky balance because personally, I was taught that giving is really important to being a very kind human and being very empathic. And it's being able to balance that also with being able to receive. Mm-hmm. So it can be tricky for people and being able to hold a boundary and also being true to yourself is part of that too.
Well, absolutely. And you made me think of, I think there's this kind of hot take out there that some people have that boundaries are actually selfish acts. What would you say to that as sort of a counter argument?
When you are true to yourself and your boundaries, you are in alignment with your highest self. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to be integrity with yourself and not compromise yourself. Somebody told me this. I can't remember who it was. which really helped me with my boundaries, is saying that when you hold a boundary, you're teaching others how to also have boundaries. And that was huge for me and helped me step back from that selfish space and be like, wow, when I'm doing this for myself, I'm also helping others do that and also being an example for others.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a great reframe. And I think too, it ultimately protects relationships. If we feel that a boundary has been compromised and we don't speak up and stand in that authenticity, resentment creeps in, frustration, anger, these just kind of negative, heavy things that then at some point erupt. And so I think it's really in the service of maintaining good relationships and preventing burnout.
Oh, for sure. And that's one thing that, like you said, anger and resentment are two big emotions where I will check in with myself and think, oh my gosh, these are really big emotions. A boundary is being crossed here. And then checking in with yourself with that. And also whenever you feel anxious, checking in with yourself and thinking, where am I not being in integrity with myself? Where am I not being honest with myself about something? And the other person might be feeling it too.
They usually are, honestly. Okay, so we've been talking a little bit here about, I think, maybe some of the more like emotional sides of boundaries, but I would love to shift our focus a little bit and talk more about energetic boundaries. I know that energetic boundaries are really your specialty. You're actually leading a workshop on November 23rd in Big Sky to really dig in more there. And so I'd love if for someone who might be kind of hearing the term energetic boundary for the very first time, how would you describe that to them?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit first around how I came to know about energetic boundaries, because it's a huge part of my practice. And the reason for it is in my internship in chiropractic school, I studied with Dr. Susan Rossi, amazing chiropractor, genius in this field. And when I did my internship with her, I would stand in the corner just observing her, shadowing her, and she would always call me out. And she would say, Andrea, get back in your body. You're not in there. It's like, oh my gosh, she's right. So I started checking in with myself because I used to be very floaty. I was a space cadet. I would always have cold hands and feet. And that was a sign to myself that I wasn't in my body. And because of that, I would pick up everybody's emotions. I would feel anxious or depressed or completely out of my body. And I checked in with myself and thought, oh my gosh, this isn't mine. I'm not a crazy person. I'm just picking up everybody else's stuff. So that was where I became very aware of energetic boundaries and how to protect my field and how to check in with myself and think, oh, this isn't mine. This isn't my energy. I can send that back to that person.
So what are some of the physical symptoms that might show up if your energetic field is like compromised in some way?
Well, number one, like I said, anxiety is a huge one. Feeling extremely fatigued and tired all the time is usually a sign you're giving away too much of your energy or somebody's draining you. Back pain is another big one too. Low back pain, pain in the body, inflammation is another sign that you may not be holding true boundaries to yourself. Another one that's funny about this is knee pain can also be a boundary issue.
Interesting. So I think holiday travel, as we kind of mentioned at the top of the episode, and just the holiday moments in general are sort of coming up, going to be presenting for many people. So what would you recommend to people who are coming into contact with others? Like, I think particularly in like an airport setting, when you are coming into contact with so much other energy, that's not your own, that you don't even necessarily know. These are all strangers, right? But I think we can still very much, particularly for sensitive people, pick that up and feel that. But then also in a home, or, you know, a space, there's just different spaces, places, faces that can be triggering as well. So what would some tips be that you could share just to help people navigate that and really stay connected to themselves and firm in their own boundaries?
Great question. Well, first and foremost, confession, I absolutely hate traveling.
I know, me
That's
too.
so
Me too. I
good,
love
right?
getting to the place. It's less about the journey and more about the destination for
Oh
me
my gosh.
in that
Yes, it's
instance.
so true. So having these tools changed my life in a lot of ways. Something that I would say energetically, and this is something I teach about in class, is learning different sacred geometry tools that are really helpful to protect your energy when you're in the airport, when you're in public. Especially when I work one-on-one with people, I need to make sure that I use these tools for myself. And also, my flower remedies are great tools. My ground yourself remedy, the energetic boundaries remedy. It's amazing because it'll help seal my energy field and create that clear boundary where I can feel mine versus somebody else's and really stay centered in my sacred sweet spot. So that's something that's really helpful. Is there any tools that you use? Any travel that you like?
I love your flower remedies, to be honest. So for someone who might not be aware, could you explain a little bit about just flower remedies, sort of what they are? Because you're
Yeah.
the ground yourself, and energetic boundaries are two that I have an upcoming trip here in a couple of weeks, and I've got my bottles pulled out, ready to go, and they really have helped me just stay rooted in myself.
Amazing. I love hearing that feedback. Yay. So with flower remedies, flowers hold vibrational sacred medicine for us, and they help a lot with healing the emotional and the energetic body. So every flower vibrates at a different frequency. So there's different flowers that help with different emotions. And if you look at the flowers, I mean, this is a whole rabbit hole I can go down. If you're familiar with the chakras, so flowers say, let's see what would be a great example. Sunflower. Sunflower is yellow. It's very vibrant. The solar plexus in our own chakra system is the color yellow, and it has to do with empowerment and self-esteem. And if you think of a sunflower, that's exactly what it represents. It re represents a sunny disposition. It represents light coming
I
into the
mean,
body.
confidence. It's just like, oh.
Confident flower. So that's one example where flower remedies can help with that. So if you would take sunflower essence, it would help with that confidence, bringing more light into the body. And that's one small example of how flower remedies work.
I mean, and I think not to go too far off course here, but it's just look at a flower, smell a flower, and take note of how you feel, maybe how your eyes soften, or there's a smile that creeps up, or just this little spark of joy or delight or something. They really do hold a lot of, I think, power on a very subtle and beautiful level.
They really do.
Yeah. And you also mentioned sacred geometry. Could you explain that a little bit as well? Because, personally, in our one-on-one sessions, that is something that we've worked on as well. And it's about putting myself sort of in a pink, in my case, pink box of protection. And so if you could just explain that and how that supports just protection of your energetic boundaries too, that would be great.
Yes. So, sacred geometry are different gifts that have been given us by spirit, by the divine, and universal energy. So, some different shapes that I really enjoy using to help with boundaries is a cube, like your pink box, octahedron, which is a pyramid that points up towards source and down towards ground. It helps manifest spirit into matter. A rose is another sacred geometry tool that I really love using for divine protection.
It's beautiful. And so connected, our flower remedies and our sacred geometry.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there anything else on energetic boundaries you want to chat about before we start to shift a little bit?
I think that it's important to note with boundaries that there are different kinds of boundaries. There are physical boundaries, An example of that would be maybe somebody hugs you and you don't want to be hugged, or somebody's too close in your energy bubble. That would be an example of physical violation, also violence, things like that. There are emotional boundaries. So individuals that really can't control their emotions, maybe they're hotheads, maybe they get angry all the time, or maybe they're full of grief and don't know when it's appropriate to show that emotion. And then the energetic boundaries, which is where we are more aware of our energy bodies. So all of these boundaries are really important. I love teaching about the energy boundaries because I think it helps you be more aware of the other two.
That makes sense. And they are also interconnected, in various ways and linked. You sort of can't, in my opinion, heal one without addressing the others as well. How do you handle, the guilt or fear that can come up with saying no, with defining a boundary? I feel like hearing this, and we might mentally all be like, yes, this makes sense and this is in my highest good. But then when it comes time to take action, there can be some of that reluctance to really stand in that. So how would you sort of encourage someone to say no, to own that?
I think part of that is checking in with yourself and figuring out where that trigger is coming from. And again, this can be something that you can deep dive within yourself. It could be, oh, I remember when I was 10 years old and I was trying to have a boundary with a friend, and maybe that friend didn't speak to me or they got angry with me. And then you remember that in your 10-year-old brain, and it can keep coming up even as in our adult years. So it's being able to identify those triggers, being able to work through that, being able to identify, why do I feel this guilt? Why do I feel this fear? Where is this coming from? Where is this rooted in? And being able to work through that. And then when you can look at a boundary or maybe talk to a friend or a family member or whoever it is, they will be able to meet you in a space where it feels less scary. That's usually how it works energetically. When you start doing your work, other people are going to respect that. And frankly, if they don't, they don't need to be in your life anymore. See ya.
Absolutely. It's reminding me of one of my favorite sort of quotes that I tell myself. I'm a student of To Be Magnetic. It's a neural manifestation process. And the founder, Lacey Phillips, she says that no is the most magnetic word. And I'm just like, man, it is so true. When you say no, you are really, I think, not only communicating a boundary, but really defining your self-worth, like recognizing it and asking the people around you to meet you where you're at. So it does, I think, raise your magnetism, raise your vibration.
You know, it's so funny when you said that. I was picturing a little kiddo when they first learn how to say no, and the parents get like, oh no, oh, what do I do? And how to manage that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there is such a that's a phase of our childhood development is that that word in those early toddler years for sure. I have friends with young children who are entering that phase of exploration now and just really trying that on. So, yeah. Can you share a time when maybe you had to set a difficult boundary and, how you navigated that?
Oh my gosh, so many different times.
I mean, it's part of our daily practice. I mean, in some ways, not necessarily like big, but I think that as a conscious human moving through the world, you are met with these moments where throughout the day where you have to set that boundary.
Yes, every single day it's a lesson in boundaries, at least for myself. I can't think of
Practice.
anything in particular, like an event. However, I have dealt with boundaries as feeling like I literally was going to die. That was the feeling that would come up within me. And I know that there's other people out there. And being able to really breathe through it and work through it, and again, see where these triggers are coming. Sometimes these triggers where it feels like death to hold a boundary could also come from past life experiences, also, where we maybe were killed or violated or whatever it was when we held a boundary. And knowing that it's really, I don't want to say it's just an emotion, but it's just an emotion, right? We're not really going to die if we hold a boundary. And being able to breathe through that. And again, like I was saying before, I love thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I am in my most authentic alignment with myself. This is how I can really connect to spirit and to the divine, is when I hold a boundary.
Well, and I think that's so important to hold the boundary too. It's one thing to set it and to say it, but then it's really on you to honor that and enforce it. Gosh, it was a book, was it by Terry Cole, called Boundary Boss? And it really explored that, where it was some people might just listen and kind of fall in line if you set the boundary. Many, though, will just continue to sort of operate in the way that feels best to them, unless you really are the enforcer and stop that. So I think it's really twofold, to set it and then to enforce it, as scary and uncomfortable as that might be.
Part of that too, that really helped me, is because I'm so empathic and very clairsentient, where psychic feeling is one of my really strong gifts. When my body is wreaking havoc on me, I know something isn't right. And then when I hold a boundary, I feel better in my body. That's huge.
So how can someone start to identify what their boundaries are and where they exist?
Just as you said it first in the podcast, when we're feeling that anger and resentment bu bubble up, being able to check in with ourselves, and anxiety, they're great tools, great emotions to think, oh my gosh, why am I feeling this? What is bringing this up inside of me? What do I need to address, instead of just suppressing it? Because
Yeah,
especially as
absolutely.
women, oh, it's so easy to suppress that anger and resentment.
But there actually are cues to healing, right? Like if you follow those little arrows, they can point you to exactly where that boundary needs to exist, where it feels not aligned or in some way compromised, and I think can really point us to what wound needs to be healed.
Yes, exactly. And something, I deal with in my practice, being a chiropractor, is inflammation. And if you look at the word, it's literally being inflamed. It is inward anger that is coming out in the body that we're not addressing or tapping into. So again, that's another way physically to check in with yourself with boundaries, is inflammation.
Absolutely. So if someone were to come in and have a session with you, schedule an appointment, how would you start to kind of weave some of this boundary work in? What can someone expect in a session to maybe help heal a boundary or get better at setting them?
Well, one of my boundaries in my practice is meeting people where they are at. Some people will come in and they're there because their back hurts and all they want is an adjustment. And I can meet them where they're at. I can give them just that adjustment, but then I also love to give people a little morsel or tidbit to think about. Like, oh, okay, you're having inflammation in your body. Let's talk about low back pain, because that is what most chiropractors are known for, treating low back pain. So somebody comes in, their back hurts, and I like to ask their body using muscle testing to see where there are blocks. And if somebody's having issues with boundaries with money and finances, or maybe a relationship, it shows up in the low back. So I'll ask the body a series of questions, see what feedback I get to the body, and then I can bring that up with the patient and say, what's going on with your relationship with money and finances right now? Because this could be why you're having pain. And going from there, I mean, I do so many different things in my practice with energy work and emotional testing, nutritional testing, all of these things. But again, it's meeting the person where they're at and then going from there with the appointment.
Well, and just to put a finer point on it too, when you're talking about talking to the body, you mean applied kinesiology and doing the muscle testing, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for this conversation around boundaries. I think you've given us so many tips and tricks and tools to help just better approach and manage the holiday season and the things that might come up. Before we bring it to a close, though, where can people find you? How can they connect with you? What is going on in Dr. Wick's world of boundaries? Please let us know.
Well, you can go to my website, drandreawick.com, and there I have access to my contact, my events, my classes. I also have an online store for my flower remedies, and I offer online classes. And Small Business Saturday, I believe that's November 29th, I will be offering 20% off of my flower remedies and online store
That's
with the
awesome.
code gratitude.
Stock up,
And
people. We'll put that in the show
yes.
notes for you, but it's really a great time, truly, to get them.
Yes. And then I'll be teaching energetic boundaries on the 23rd. I think I have two spots left for that class. And then because it's so popular, I really want to offer a live class so that I can reach more people that aren't just in Big Sky or Bozeman that would love to learn about energetic boundaries and use the wonderful gift of technology.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, your thoughtfulness, as always, and just wishing you and the rest of our listeners a peaceful and beautiful holiday season.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This was wonderful. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.